Oh.
I know it's heavy. Don't waste the page. 630.
Everybody stand. I guess everybody stand, and we'll sing number 630. Amen. There you go. 630. 430 is a good one too, but we're gonna sing 630. Yes, sir. At 6:30. At 6 o'clock. Amen. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, he met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away. Praise God, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine. Justified fully through Calvary's love, oh what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Took of the offer of grace he did proffer, he saved me, oh praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul, filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away. Praise God, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believe. Riches eternals and blessings supernal from his precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away. Praise God, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Amen. Let's see. Brother Pat, would you lead us in prayer? Amen. Everybody can maybe seat it. Got a lot of good food out there to eat after this. We got to hurry up. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, sir. 107. We're going to Navy him, I'm sure. Eternal Father, strong to save, whose arm hath bound the restless wave, who bids the mighty ocean deep its own appointed limits keep. Oh, hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril on the sea. O Christ, the Lord of hill and plain, o'er which our traffic runs amain, by mountain pass or valley low, wherever, Lord, our brethren go, protect them by thy guarding hand from every peril on the land. O Spirit, whom the Father sent to spread abroad the firmament, O wind of heaven, by thy might save all who dare the eagle's flight, and keep them by thy watchful care from every peril in the air. O Trinity of love and power, our brethren shield in danger's hour, from rock and tempest, fire and foe, protect them wheresoe'er they go. Thus evermore shall rise to thee glad praise from air and land and sea. Amen. Amen. 4:30. Let's turn over to 4:30. We'll get you after that, Brother Phil. 4:30. Amen. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he brought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. That's one thing there's no doubt about, is our Lord loves us. Amen. Amen. Phil? 706. See if I can. I'm not sure. Whoa. I'm not sure.
Let's see.
Pardon me? Phil, I don't know this one. Can you come up and lead it for us? Help us out. Someday lives. 705 then. We know that one. We probably know 706. It's probably just been a while. Yes, sir. 705. We're going to do 705. Then 707. What's 707? What is that anyway? Oh, boy. You're doing that one by yourself. Amen. Hey. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Amen. Amen. Yes, Joyce.
Coronation song.
Amen. 281. Do we know that one, Joyce? Two 281. What a day that will be.
Yeah.
We'll have our offering after this with Brother Wamel. Would you come? Man. 281. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that get happy morning. What a day, a glorious day that will be. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand that leads me through the promised land. What a day, a glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrows there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, a glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and he look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, a glorious day that will be. Amen. Brother Romel.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we are happy, Lord, to be in your house once again. Dear Lord, thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you provide while here on earth. And Lord, even as we think that besides the blessings that we get here on earth, Lord, we know that there is even heaven. Thank you, Lord, for your promises of heaven. And Lord, we thank you for the heaven strength of your forgiveness that we go out there and earn our living through the judgment given. Lord, we know that all these blessings, all the finances, Lord, that we have, we receive them all from you. So, Lord, it's only right that we offer you, Lord, these tithes and these offerings. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I was sitting there wondering what I wanted to do next, and it came to me that my brother's been out here for about 3 days, and he hasn't had a chance to get up here and say anything yet. And I know that he's just aching to do that. So, James, if you'll come up here. This is James Owen. There were five of us boys, and James was kind of mixed up in the middle. He was neither first nor was he last. And then the Lord saw fit to take Charles, and when he did, that gave him the prominence of being number four. Say a few words for us.
You bet. I just want to take this opportunity to thank this congregation, this church, the people here, for supporting this man, my brother, for these years. RC's given his life to serving God, and he's been a blessing to me, even though it's been at a distance on something like that. He's always been the person that I've looked up to, and if I've ever had a problem or something, he's the one that I always think about, and I always pray to God that I could be more like him in the things that I try to do on a daily basis there, that I try to live my life the way that he lives his and the way that our parents brought us up. But the people here in Chula Vista have been so wonderful to the Wetzel family. Every time that that I visited here, I felt like I was part and a member of this congregation. That's how you made me feel. And every one of my brothers and my mother when she was alive that came here, they all felt the same. So, you know, that's a major accomplishment, because you go into some of these churches there, believe it or not, not everyone's like you. They're not real friendly. It's kind of a cold atmosphere. You know, you can't feel the Holy Spirit working in the congregation. The word's not proclaimed here from the pulpit. But, you know, I just wanted to say thanks. And thank you for supporting my brother for these many years. Thank you.
He was like you in the closet.
No.
He's that much older. I'm not that old.
It's always good to have James out here. Let's see, the last time I went to see him, I flew into Houston. And I can't remember that far back. I got a good excuse. But I remember I got to go through Colorado to get down to Texas. Isn't that something? Take the long way around. Anyway, it's good to have him out here, and I'm glad that he came out not only for my birthday, but for retirement and to be here and have fellowship together. We've had a real good time. And now that I'm retired, I'm going to come see you again. All right. I think we have some refreshments tonight after our evening service. And it'll be fun getting together and eating again. That's what keeps me alive. I'll tell you, I love it. Now, Sandy and Mike will be going home. So in our prayers, we'll pray that it doesn't rain and doesn't get too dark on them going home. Yeah. All right. I announced, and I wondered what sermon I wanted to preach tonight. And so I decided that I would go back into Ezekiel. So open your Bibles with me tonight and let's look into that 18th chapter of Ezekiel. Start down in verse 30 for our text. The Lord here speaking to his people Israel through his prophet Ezekiel says to them, "Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit." And now we get to the text. "For why will ye die, O house of Israel?" Why will you die? "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye." My text and my question to you is the same question that God asked the people of Israel about 2,600 years ago through this prophet Ezekiel. Here's God's words. Why will you die? I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. Contrary to what you think, it does not make God happy, nor does it bring him joy or pleasure. When a lost man, even a vicious murderer, a rapist, a terrorist, an evil, wicked, ungodly person who doesn't believe in God, he dies and his soul goes out into eternity lost, doomed, damned, and he suffers endless pain and agony in the eternal, unquenchable fires of a burning hell. You would think that God would be happy to get rid of somebody like that, wouldn't you? But God is different from us. He says, it gives me no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Regardless of how good it seems to us, when an evil person gets his just result, his just deserts. And here's something else I got to thinking about. God's powerful. God has good hearing. And if there's anybody in this universe that can hear the wails, the cries, the pleas, the praying that comes out of hell, it would be God, wouldn't it? God hears all this. The piteous cries of these unsaved people that are suffering the anguish of eternal loss of their mortal souls in hell. And some of them, if you have been your friends, some of them have been maybe your relatives. God forbid, your children, sons and daughters, parents. Did you know that you and God are the only two people that can do anything about it? You and God. You can witness to them. You can warn them. Tell them what's going to happen. Share the truth with them. And I know that God's already done all that he can. He offers forgiveness free. He provides salvation to everyone that will take it. His pardon is available for the asking. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ask and ye shall receive. Salvation is a free gift from God. It doesn't cost you anything. Now, it was this truth from this passage of Scripture that reminded me that God seems to care for people who are lost. I remember all too well Monday night, June the 19th, 1950. An event happened in my life that caused me to surrender to preach. My pastor's message from the previous day, Sunday, was still ringing in my heart. I'd gone to work on Monday morning, Ford assembly plant out on East Grand in Dallas, Texas. I worked all day. I came home that evening, ate a bite of supper, went to bed, couldn't sleep. Lay there, tossed and turned. Finally wound up getting out of bed, went out into the backyard, fell on my face in the grass under an old hackberry tree that served as a fence post. There was a cow pasture behind our house. 5 strands of barbed wire, and that's where I was. And that's the place where I gave my heart to God. That's the place I surrendered my life to Him. Because the truth of this word had got a hold of my soul. Why will you die? I worked among unsaved people. People who would die without Christ, without hope, without God. I thought, why will you die? Why? I knew that God cared, but I didn't. So it's no wonder that on Wednesday evening, July the 5th, 1950, when this old 24-year-old country boy, fresh out of the U.S. Navy after World War II, stood up before the congregation of the Calvary Baptist Church in Grand Prairie, Texas, and preached on a text that says, "Why will you die?" It was a great message. That was 65 years ago. There are 2 people in this congregation tonight who heard the first message that I preached on why will you die. I got to thinking about that. That's pretty good, isn't it? Got 2 people here tonight that heard me preach my first message. Sandy was 3. She doesn't remember much about it. But James Owen does. He was 9 and a half years old. Why will you die? We didn't have 100 people get saved that night. In fact, I don't think anybody believed after I preached. But it was a good message anyway. Amen? So, when I was contemplating a message to preach for my retirement, I said, you know, that was a good text to start off with. Be a good text to end with. why will you die? What God says here is the very heart's cry of the entire Word of God. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, why will you die? And people aren't answering that to their heart's satisfaction. But I've tried to keep that in my mind all these years. The purpose of preaching is, why will you die? Because when you take that last breath, it's all over. There ain't no more. Why will you die? I've developed a habit of looking out across a congregation and wondering in my heart, how many of those people are truly saved? I know that I've preached to people in congregations through the years that were lost. They were lost when they came to church. They were lost when they left. But why? Why will you die? How many of them were true saints who had really, truly been born again? Are there is there anybody out there that needs assurance or reassurance that when they die, they will immediately go into the presence of God? It's very clear from the Bible that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's word's very plain when it says the wages of sin is death. It says we're all dead in trespasses and sins and need to be born again before we can see the kingdom of God. That's God's word. We can't help what our condition is. A person is lost. He can't do anything about it. It's because Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. We're all born into this world under the death penalty. And let me tell you something tonight. The death that he's talking about is not just dying and being buried out yonder in the cemetery in a beautiful casket with a nice headstone where your loved ones can come and visit you and put flowers on the grave on special occasions. I went out a couple of days ago, James and I went out to Miramar, and they'd gone out there and they put big green wreaths on every grave, back before Christmas, I guess. Every grave out there, thousands of them, had these wreaths, and people had come out there, and husbands and wives, and had decorated the grave. But the death that he's warning us about here is that eternal, everlasting, forever, perpetual, without end death. The kind of death that you read about in Luke chapter 16, where Jesus tells us about, let me share it with you, a certain rich man, which was clothed with purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. But then the rich man died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. How can you do that? He's dead. His body's been buried in the tomb already. How can he do that if he's dead? And his body is buried already. And his soul is suffering the torments of hell. Jesus goes on to say, and he cried. And he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Like Moses and his burning bush at Mount Sinai, it was burning, but it was not being consumed. This is death he's talking about. The rich man died. John tells us over in the book of Revelation, about a time when the sea will give up the dead that are in them. We live here on the coast, and you got a lot of people, a lot of ex-sailors, I guess, and things like that. People die, and they want their ashes scattered at sea. I've been on a few of those excursions and gone out, and it's about as easy as putting somebody 6 feet under the ground and covering them over with dirt. There's still a lot of people in the sea, I suppose, left over from the flood. The one in Noah's day, when all flesh was destroyed except eight, a lot of people in the sea. A lot of souls. I remember back the 6th of June, 1945. I went aboard a ship that was called USS Edgecombe. That was APA 164 up north a ways at Treasure Island in San Francisco Bay. We went aboard at night, headed west. We sailed about midnight in blackout darkness under the faint shadow of that old Golden Gate Bridge. Few people aboard that ship slept that night. Everybody anxious with their own thoughts. No one could imagine the war and the battles and the bloodshed that lay ahead. We were sailing into the unknown. Wasn't very long before we had our first casualty. Some mother's son couldn't take it any longer. He climbed up as high as he could possibly climb on the superstructure of that ship. And took a nosedive down to the steel deck. And I witnessed my first burial at sea. The ship didn't even slow down as they slid his body over the side into the waters. There's coming a time, the Bible tells us, when death and hell will deliver up the dead which are in them. And then both death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Number two. And if you thought the first one was bad, you wait until this second one comes along. That's the one that'll really get you. But I would like to remind you of the compassion of God that's expressed in verses like John 3:16. That tells us there that God so loved the lost people of this world. Those who are dead in their trespasses and in their sins, that he gave his only begotten Son, sent him into this world not to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. But he sent his Son to save the world. To save the world, how? By believing. By trusting. By accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Because whosoever believeth in him is not condemned. Whosoever believeth in him shall never perish. Whosoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life. We've got too many verses like John 8:51. If a man keep my saying, Jesus says, he shall never see death. John 10:28. Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never die. Never, never perish. It's grace. John 11:26. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me, this is Jesus talking, shall never die. Hang on to verses like that. They're very precious promises. And I would challenge you tonight to read this entire 18th chapter of Ezekiel. God says a lot of good stuff in it that you'll appreciate. Like in verse 4, he said, all souls are mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Said it again in verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And it also tells us that we're going to die for our own sins. The Father will not die for the Son, nor the Son for the Father. They shall bear their own. And then again in verse 23, have I any pleasure in all, at all, that the wicked should die? Saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live. Makes us believe that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He says, repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. You say to your lost friends, why will you die? What do you think you can gain by rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? What do you hope to gain by saying no to God when God offers you an eternal life? What is so bad about admitting that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son? What is so bad about the fact that God loved the world and gave His Son as a sacrifice for our sins? What's so bad about that? What can you hope to gain by saying, no, I don't want to have anything to do with God or Jesus or heaven or hell or anything like that? There's everything to lose and nothing at all to gain. Don't refuse God's salvation. Share it with others. If there's somebody, whether you like them or not, whether they're relatives or strangers, they need Jesus as their personal Savior. He's the only one that can save from death. Why will you die? Why? What purpose is there in your dying? What makes hell so attractive when it's a place of fire, flames, torments, pain, suffering, anguish? Who would want to deliberately go to a place like that when it's eternal and you can never get out? When God is offering free eternal salvation. I don't understand it. But I know tonight that God wants people to be saved, and that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He doesn't want people to die without Christ and go to hell. And He has nobody but you and me to tell them about it, to warn them. And that takes the power of the Holy Spirit. You're talking to somebody. You're talking about the weather, your automobile, gas mileage, whatever. And God puts a thought in your mind. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. This may be the only opportunity you will ever have to witness to them. Tell them about Jesus. Ask them, why will you die? God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Keep telling it over and over. Sometimes it takes more than once. So let's stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Thank you for listening tonight. Heavenly Father, we bow tonight to give you thanks for your great salvation. We give you thanks for the love that you had for us when we were lost, that you saved us by your grace. We realize it's not by our works. We haven't done anything worthy of salvation. There's nothing that we could do that would earn eternal life. We have to depend upon you. As far as I'm concerned, you're the only one that can get me out of the grave on Resurrection Day. And I pray that you will bless this people and this handful of us tonight that are here. Implant within our souls that desire to see people saved and accept your eternal salvation. Why will you die? Doesn't make God happy. Doesn't make the mourners at the graveside happy. Why will you die? We thank you for eternal life that we have through Jesus Christ our Lord, and pray that you might use us as your instruments to tell people about Christ, to share the Word of God with them, to give them, to pass on that burden to get people saved. I pray, Father, your richest of blessings upon this church, upon each member, and that you will just grant them your power to be witnesses for Christ until he comes again. Thank you for the friendship that this people have shown to me and the privilege to worship together with them. You've been so good to me personally in my ministry here, and I give you thanks for it. In the name of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you. come out of mercy.